I have been speaking on Sunday nights about making sense out of sickness, overcoming weakness, or living with sickness, living with weakness. It's something every human being has to do to some extent. Nobody's exempt from it. We have to live in these vile bodies. And there are some principles, as I have read the Word of God over the years, that have helped me to be able to live in this body of clay, this body of dirt, this weak body, and yet somehow to exude a certain amount of faithfulness. I've mentioned, I had my numbers. I don't know if I still got them down here. Yeah, we've had this many services we have conducted since we've started the church. 3,744, and these are the number that I've missed due to sickness. And three of those were because of back spasms, and another three because of sickness that I remember. And then with snow days, you know, a few more, but there's not much you can do in those cases. But I show those numbers not because I'm the healthiest man around, but because I've learned some things from the Bible that I do try to practice that help me keep going and try to be faithful. And number one was production. And I'm just going to review these, and then I'll get to a few more tonight. Number one was production. I want to produce for God. I want to do something for God in my life. I haven't done all I should have done, nor want to do, but I wanted to accomplish something for God. And if I knew, if I was going to do that, I was going to have to be able to live with weakness and live with sickness and work on through it and not let it stop me. And I hope that that will be your attitude also, is to focus on production. We are to love the Lord with all of our strength. And so if I can get more strength, if I can find things that will give me more strength, I believe in one way I can love God more. And so a lot of these things I share with you are just my pursuit of trying to have more strength, because I've always been kind of a low energy type of guy. It's just the way I'm built. And, you know, I'm not a guy who's up at 4 in the morning like a Doug Fisher. There are those people that have graced our lives, and we thank God for them, those that can go just 16, 18 hours a day and function, do amazing things. Thank the Lord for them. But production, that is a motivation to either overcome sickness, overcome weakness, learn how to be healthier, or work on through it. Number one, number two, stop sinning. Sin and sickness have a direct correlation with each other. I showed you verses that prove that. And by the way, I'd encourage you to tithe. I've noticed people who do not tithe are sicker, and their wives are sicker, and their children are sicker than those that do tithe. And I'll challenge you. Tuesday, when these preachers are around here, go up and interview every one of them and see if they have not observed the same phenomenon in their churches and ministries. You can't find a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, anyone who's been in the ministry very long, but he observes that phenomenon that those who tithe are generally healthier than those who do not tithe. And those who do not tithe end up sick, their wives end up sick, their children end up sick, they have all kinds of downtime, their cars break down more than most people. Their utilities break down more than most people. They live under the horrible administration of one called the devourer. And a person who begins to tithe and give offerings, the Lord comes along and rebukes the devourer. And that's not just something from Malachi some 2,500 years ago. You ask any pastor that comes Tuesday night if he won't tell you that he has seen with his eyes the same evidence. That's true in almost every single case. You will be healthier if you'll tithe and stop sinning. And I know none of us can stop sinning, but we can stop a whole lot of it. Number three was fasting. I'm sorry, number three was prayer. Prayer for protection. Pray that God will protect you from flus and colds and viruses and diseases and fevers and bacteria and so on and so forth. Pray for protection. I'm telling you, it works. God put a hedge of protection around Job. And Job was a man of prayer. And God protected him. And it wasn't until that hedge was taken down that Satan was able to touch his body and inflict him with physical infirmity. Number four, fasting. And Isaiah 58 and verse 8 says, "Then shall thy health spring forth speedily." And that's something I've been doing for almost 25 years of my life, fasting at least one day a week for a 24-hour period, and giving my innards a break, giving my gizzard a break, and all those other internal organs. And they're all muscles, whether they're voluntary or involuntary. We have muscles in our bodies, and they need a break once in a while. And the Bible promises your health will spring forth speedily if you'll fast. In the last few years, almost 3 years now, I've been spending 2 days a week in fasting each week of my life. And we talked about fasting. The man probably alive on earth today who knows about fasting is coming to our church Tuesday. Dr. Doug Fisher. I don't know if he's going to speak on it. I've asked him to, but I've also said I want the Holy Spirit to tell you what to preach, not me. So I don't know if he'll touch on that or not. Get over depression. Number five, we talked about how depression, I don't know anybody who functions very well in depression. Dr. Doug Fisher has struggled on through seasons of depression in his life. Charles Spurgeon did, got the victory over it. I know a pastor in Western New York who went through a 2-year bout recently with depression, and it was a very fruitless season in his life, and thank God about a year and a half ago he got the victory over it. He's back on the winning side now. The Bible says God has given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We need to wrap ourselves up in just constant praise of God. And if you'll just praise God and praise God and praise God and then sing to God and then praise Him some more and then sing to God, that giant of depression will flee away. I don't care who you are. I think we've got way too many excuses nowadays for our depression. I believe God's greater than it. And I'm not going to live a depressed life. I refuse to. And let me tell you something. A pastor probably has more reasons to get depressed than most of the average church member. The things I deal with and that pastors have to deal with. Then number six was show character. The Apostle Paul lived with an infirmity in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. He had to live with that every day of his ministry, yet he finished his course. He didn't let a little headache stop him or a little runny nose or a little fever or a little cold or a little cough or a little sore throat like so many people do. He had an infirmity in the flesh that people, when they looked at him, were so sorry for him, they considered his physical appearance contemptible that they wished they could give him their own eyes. That's how extreme his infirmity in the flesh was, and he never stopped. And I don't know if my chronology is wrong, but I believe his ministry spanned between 40 to 50 years, where he ministered with an infirmity in the flesh. It did not stop him. And he said, "I finished my course. I've kept the faith." And God gave us a role model of a man who just showed some character. And said, "Yeah, I'm sick, but so what? Heaven's coming. I'm not going to be like this anymore. I've just got a little bit of time to do something big for God." And he said about his life and his testimony, "I labored more abundantly than they all." He didn't let sickness stop him. And from it, he showed some character. He says, "I'm not going to stop." One songwriter once wrote, "Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful day, walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn." I'm sorry, I got the words wrong. "Facing for sinners, death on the cross. Up Calvary's mountain" was the name of the song. He talked about Christ weary and worn and beat up and whipped and spit on and carrying his cross. And he went up Calvary's mountain, and don't you believe that Catholic myth that he fell under the load of the cross or those songs. That's not in the Bible. Jesus made it to Golgotha, and he didn't let pain and the loss of blood and so on stop him from doing God's will. And we need to show character. And those of you that work for the Lord and work for His church here in Eden, you need to show character. Every one of us that works on staff or for the church needs to remember that it's people with their very, very hard-earned money that pay us to be in the ministry. And we need to produce, and I believe I believe they're all really trying. I'm not saying they're not tonight, but that ought to mobilize us. I write a list down almost every Monday of my life that of things I got to do in the course of a week, and I'd never finish one of my lists. Number 7, balanced sleep. We've got to never become sluggards or lazy. That is a violation of the Scriptures. But on the other hand, there's 3 verses of Scripture that say where God can give us sweet sleep. Look them up. And it'll tell you different things you can do to assure that your sleep will be sweet. And we spend about a third of our lives on average doing that, so that's an area we ought to commit to the Lord. Because I don't know about you, but if you don't sleep enough and you're groggy the next day, it's hard to function. You ever notice that when you're tired, it's hard to be spiritual? Is it just me? But when you're tired, it's hard to be spiritual. You ever notice that? It's hard to witness when you're tired, isn't it? Remember what Louie said in testimonies tonight? She was tired, didn't feel like witnessing. Lord, let Tony do it, something like that. I understood what she was saying. And boy, there's time. We've got to get some rest. Now, number 8, this is something new. Number 8, be careful. Be careful. We heard some testimonies tonight of close calls with death. And I can't stress this to you enough, especially you young people, listen to me. You think you're invincible. You think you're indestructible right now. But you better reconsider some things and be careful. Look at Ecclesiastes 7, verse 17. It says this, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" It's not just overmuch wicked people that die before their time. Sometimes it's just flat out foolish people. There's a lot of times where the foolishness and the sins of youth will take a person's life and alter it forever or end their life. And I have friends that I grew up with. You all have friends that you grew up with. I remember 2 basketball players that were far better basketball players than I ever were. One got drunk at a picnic and running along through the park, he slipped over a cliff, fell 150 feet and died. And never reached his 20th birthday. Another one was out at a party, and I think they were drinking and all, and he ran down the dock of a lake and jumped into the lake and hit his head on a log and was paralyzed from the neck down for the rest of his life. The Bible says, "Be not." I'm not trying to speak lightly of these people. A very difficult situation that they've gone through. But the Bible says, right here in verse 17, "Neither be thou foolish." Don't act foolishly. Don't act foolishly. And we can't avoid all accidents, but we can avoid many of them. We can't avoid all slips, and we can't avoid all falls, but we can be careful people. And I'm telling you, this will help you be healthier. This will help you be able to function better if we are try to be careful. Now, I know we had a dear lady in our church just last week or so break her hip, and another one broke her foot, and that just happens around here when there's just ice rinks everywhere you walk. But we need to be careful. Be careful of your driving. Especially in this weather, drive carefully. Use your winter driving skills. Watch the way you step. Watch the way you plant your feet. Slow down. You know, usually people who speed up, they only make it to their destination about 1 minute earlier before anybody else. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I want to encourage you young people to reconsider sports involvement. Reconsider your involvement in sports. You young ladies are 3 times more prone to knee injuries than men when competing in sports because God did not make the female body to participate in all these sports like volleyball and soccer and softball and all these things that they're ramming down the throats of this generation of young ladies. The fact is, I have an article from Time magazine, a doctor there who reports that ladies are having 3 times more knee injuries because of their involvement in sports than men who play basketball and soccer and softball and volleyball and so on and so forth. I want to encourage you to reconsider sports involvement. I have 2 school records in track at my high school that have stood for 32 years. I'd give both of those up that fast if I could have 2 new knees tonight. They don't mean anything to me anymore. But the pain of my knees and the throbbing in my knees, and sometimes it keeps me from sleeping at night. I would give those up just that fast for what I thought was so important back then. Watch what you're doing. Think safety first. Wear eyeglasses or safety glasses if you're cutting wood. Turn to Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 9. Again, I got all this out of the Bible. All this I got out of the Bible. It says in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 9, Whoso removeth stone shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. When you're moving stones, you got to be careful. You know, one of the things, all the back spasms and back injuries I've had in my life is because I've tried to pick up things like this. You're not supposed to pick up things like that. Coming apart. You're not supposed to bend over like that. You're supposed to pick up things like this and get under them and keep your back straight and use your knees and go straight up. Oops. Really falling apart here. All right. I'm telling you, I got that out of the Bible. And people used to tell me that, but I was young and invincible. What did they know? I was never going to get hurt. How many of you have ever really had back spasms? Okay, a few of you know what I'm talking about. Boy, they'll put you on the floor. You're talking about a humbling experience. Man, you want some humility. You get back spasms. You have your back go out, and you lay on the floor, and nobody can even pick you up. You talk about how fearfully and wonderfully the body is made, man. The Bible says, whoso removes stones shall be hurt therewith. And he that cleaveth wood, a man who chops wood, shall be endangered thereby. And there's a lot of danger. We heard earlier about a tree falling down, ice falling down, almost hurting one of the men in church here tonight. And how many men have been cutting trees? I remember a man using a chainsaw. And he was cutting wood, and he caught something that bounced back, and it danced all over his face. And he literally looked like Frankenstein, just like that. The rest of his life, his face was scarred up like that. We need to be careful. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 4. 2 Samuel in chapter 4 and verse number 4. It says, and Jonathan, Saul's son had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee, and he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. And so here we have an adult man who had been lame on his feet from age 5 because a nurse had picked him up and begun to run with him. And while she ran, for some reason she fell, and she fell on him and maybe broke his legs, maybe broke his hip or something. We had a man that used to attend here a few years ago that he was swinging with his son in the park. And his son was on his lap, and they felt that the swing broke. And he came down right on his boy's hips, broke his boy's hips. Some of you remember that story. And we need to be careful. Be careful with your children. Watch your driving. Watch the activities you allow your children to participate in. Watch out for foolishness. Watch out for trying to impress people. First of all, they're not impressed. And second of all, so many people have hurt themselves trying to impress people, especially young people. And do low impact type of exercises and aerobics, that type of a thing. That's okay. That kind of activity. I was talking to Brother Rich Braymiller today. He's got one of those stationary bicycles. He was all excited. I was talking to him on the phone. He's lost 83 pounds. Amen. I said, amen, brother. That's great. He said, I feel a lot better. I don't feel so sluggish and slothful anymore and so on and so forth. You can do that. I remember limiting some of the things Stephen was involved in. Stephen was very, very athletic growing up. And yet, you know, we couldn't participate in a lot of those things. Most of the things in town were on Wednesday nights. We weren't going to keep our kids out of church so they can play in some league or something on Wednesday nights or something like that. And I think he was very athletic when I used to watch him, but he didn't really participate much in a whole lot. And later in life, he's going to thank me for that. When his hips don't hurt like mine do, and his knees don't hurt like mine do, and his shoulders don't hurt like mine do, and all those things I thought was so important, playing four sports, four seasons every year, and which now, you know, I walk away from them, and I think, boy, that was, I don't know what that was about. Driving, things like that. Be careful. Be careful. Don't show off. Don't show off. And don't run with scissors. You know, those things people told us growing up, a lot of them had learned, you know, use your head when you're mowing the lawn or something. I heard about one guy had a push lawnmower, and he went down and he had bushes that he wanted to trim, and he reached down to pick the lawnmower. If he's going to go like that on his bushes, lost his fingers, you know. Just things like that, folks, be careful. Be careful. And those things could happen to us. Accidents can happen so quickly. Every day. The old-timers used to say, safety first. Remember that safety? Remember those yellow signs, the black letters, safety first everywhere? Don't see them much anymore. But you young people in your teens and 20s, you're going to be 40 or 50 someday. And 60 someday. Be careful. I'm trying to teach you things tonight that will help you have an advantage in your race with God and for God. It will give you an advantage. Number 9, exercise. Exercise. And I know the Bible says in 1 Timothy, and people love to quote this verse, but I want to tell you the basis for this verse. I know the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, it says, "But for bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." But you always keep a Bible verse in its context. What language was the New Testament written in originally? Greek. Let me tell you something about the Greeks. We were in Athens, my wife and I. And we were in Greece, and we saw the elaborate saunas that they had. Now, if you remember those, they took us in, they showed us how they had sauna baths back then, and how they had massage parlors back then, and how they had gymnasiums back then. The word exercise here comes from the Greek word gymnasia, that we get the English word gymnasium from. And back then, when in the context of Paul's writing, sports, athletics, and the human body was everything. All over Greece, there are chiseled statues of naked men because they worshipped the human body. They were a decadent, pagan, heathen country. And they had all these statues, and we even, sometimes today, they even use that term to describe certain men that are muscular. They say he's what? Chiseled. Some of you have heard that word before. He's chiseled. That comes back from the Greeks where all they did was exercise. All they did was, the Olympics, they ran naked. And the Olympians were the gods. They were put on the shoulders of people. They were marched through town. They were worshipped, the Olympian, the Greek Olympians. We saw the original Olympic stadium. Got pictures of it. See, that was the context Paul was writing in. Paul was writing in a day when all they did was exercise. And to them, he said, for bodily exercise profit little. But now we've gone to the very extreme where we in America don't do any exercise. And there was a day, I'm telling you something, there was a day when we had to work. My mother and father used to tell me, you don't know what work is. And I used to think, you know, we'd have the pump out there by the barn. We didn't have any running water in the barn. There was 200 pigs in there every morning, every night, waiting for water. And we'd be out there pumping the thing in the big 5-gallon pails. You've seen them, drywall pails. And then we'd fill up two, and then we'd carry it into the barn. And winter days like this, you'd have to chisel all of the ice out of their water troughs and then put the water in there and then give the chickens water and the rabbits water and the peacocks water and all the other animals, or, you know, the pigs water. And then you'd have to go back because they, I mean, you dump that. Did you ever water 200 pigs? Okay. They don't step back and wait. They run into the water trough. It didn't matter. It was like, you just poured it on their heads. And by the time you got the second, it was all gone. They were so thirsty. So back out to the pump you go. And you pump the water, and then the second bucket, and then you go back with it like that, and so on and so forth. And then you go there, and they just do it. And you'd have to keep doing it until, my dad said, until there's water left, and they've stopped drinking. And then that turns to ice. And then you go on to the chickens. And we'd do this every day of our life, 7 days a week, all the time I was growing up on the farm. We never took a vacation once. Never. We have to do that. Then you get in, and they'd say something like, you don't know what work is. But then they tell you the stories about what they had to do. What they had to do. And they were right. I didn't know what work was compared to what they had to do. Wow. You know, I've been putting some new molding in my house, our house over there, and replacing some of the old stuff. I remember when we first moved in, 23 years ago in the house, when you wanted to meter some molding around a door like this and make this angle, you know how you did it? You had a little plastic box and a saw. And it had different angles in it. And you get your wood in there and you start going like this. And then you get the thing out and you take it over there, and then guess how you put it up? You took a hammer. Every single one. You know how I did it last week? I got a chop saw. Mixed circular chop saw. Put it at a 45 angle. Zing. Take it over there. Got my son's pneumatic finishing nail gun. Up it goes. They don't know what work is. And I tell you what. My wife and I were talking about when we first got in the house, and every floorboard, every door meter, every door jam, door molding or whatever we put down, any trim, all of it I cut by hand, and I do it on my day off Monday, and there's just days when my arm was just ready to fall off. I can't do this anymore. I got to take a break. But now you know, and put it up, and there's nothing to. There's folks, you've got to invent exercise today. You've got to invent exercise, and we've got to exercise. If you took the arteries out of your body and the capillaries out of your body and you stretched them out, they would go across the United States and back. And the blood flows through those every minute. And those arteries can become clogged up, and all that blood can become sluggish unless it goes through this big, huge filter in our bodies called a liver. And that blood, folks, literally has to get going at times so that it can pass through the liver and be filtered. Some of you know, especially in the old days, you know what happens to a car when the gas filter clogs up, right? And the car doesn't run anymore. And it's the same thing. God has given our body filters. And it's just kind of common sense, isn't it, that if you get your blood going once in a while, that's going to run through that filter called the liver, and there's a good chance you're going to start feeling better. We have got to, you know, so don't take 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 out of context. We have got to start doing some exercising. And I'm talking to myself here. I do some, but I need to do more walking exercises, over 300 of the 500, whatever there is, 32 muscles in the body. Walking is just good exercising. And we do not get the exercise they used to in the pioneer days. And they had to work like slaves all day long, all night long, just to exist. Let me close with this one tonight. that I believe has helped in my battle with sickness and weakness and helped me to become stronger. And number 10 is love God's house and God's people. It is a scientific fact that people who go to church are healthier than people who do not. It is a scientific fact that the healthiest people are those who go to church. I want to read an article here. It says the Johns Hopkins University Medical Research has just discovered that the Presbyterian Minister's Life Insurance Fund has known for more than two centuries. Attending church is good for your health. The risk of fatal heart diseases is almost twice as high for the non-churchgoer than for men who attend once a week or more, according to a study made by Dr. George Comstock of the University's Department of Epidemiology. I don't know what that is. Exactly. The doctor also observed that the clean life associated with regular church going appears to be statistically related to a lower incidence of other major diseases, adding that going to church is a very favorable input. The risk of fatal heart disease is almost twice as high for non-churchgoers. You know, that ought to concern us in Western New York. Did you know Western New York is the number one region in America for heart disease, heart attacks, and stroke? Right here. Because of our diet. Our diet is so poor in Western New York. Chicken wings, beef on whack, all the thing, pizza, and all that stuff. It's so bad in Western New York. We are number one, this area, in all of the United States of America for heart attacks, heart diseases, and stroke. But it says here, church attendance is good for you. He says, not only does it help the heart for some reason, but it says the clean life associated with regular church going appears to be statistically related to a lower incidence of other major diseases. That only makes sense. What do we teach people? Don't use drugs. Don't drink. Quit smoking. Don't smoke dope. Take care of your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Watch the way you eat. Watch the way you drink. Don't drink liquor. All right? We teach that in church. We teach that to our young people. Exercise. Watch the way you dress. Keep your clothes on. And don't be dating. Don't be fornicating. Fornication has brought a lot of disease into our country. I'm telling you what, they're looking for all these answers to AIDS disease and HIV. I know the answer. It's the clean life. If we just followed the clean life once again, we'd eradicate that disease in about a generation. Church going will help you be healthier. So I've given you a few things tonight, and we'll finish up next week, Lord willing. If we're in heaven, we won't have to worry about it. Amen. All right, let's just pray. Our Father, bless now this time just of prayer and closing. We look forward to some really good spiritual messages, but this common sense sermon, Lord, that I've tried to base on scriptures, oh God, help us. Lord, we pray. Thy word says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If we're walking in the light, church isn't even a question. We will have fellowship one with another. Help us all to exercise more, Lord. Put it in our hearts to take care of the body, which is the temple of God. And help us, Lord, just to be careful. The way we walk, the way we drive, the way we work with tools in our occupations. Lord, and people that do ride snowmobiles, motorcycles, ATVs, to wear helmets, just common sense, not to try to impress people. Lord, help us with these things, we pray. Bless our time of prayer now, in Jesus' name we ask, amen. Let's just